What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Gravity Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris. Thank you for choosing to tune in today. Hey, folks, we're continuing this conversation. How do we stay grounded in a world full of noise and chaos? I don't know about you, but as I read the news, as I poke into social media, as I just travel the community, I feel like there's a lot of noise and chaos, especially as we lean into a presidential election year. And I think there's things to fight over. There's lines in the sand that we have to draw. But what are those? Like, when is it really critical for us to stand our ground versus listening to other people, understanding their perspectives, and maybe we walk away and we agree or disagree? My guess is, though, as we walk away, if we truly listen to other people, my guess is you're going to have a better understanding of why you feel the way you do. You're going to have a better understanding of people and of what are your foundations in life that keep you grounded. On today's show, we're going to be having tactical yoga training instructor Sheila Schmidt. I met Sheila at a 1RC, a first responder conference, and I just love her passion for yoga and her passion for helping first responders come out of this job in a more whole way, right? Both physically and mentally, because those two are totally tied together. And Sheila has a passion for helping first responders, police, fire, dispatch, corrections, military veterans, active duty, all these folks and these families. She has a passion for helping us out. But before we get into that, folks, I want to talk about Service Peace Warriors. Service Peace Warriors is a 501c3 nonprofit that's committed to our nation's heroes. That's right, the men and women returning with war-related PTS or other injuries. Service Peace Warriors has their back. They're raising all the money. They're equipping both the service animal and the veteran with the training that they need for that healing power of a service animal to be functional. It's a great organization, folks. They actually took it a step further. Instead of stopping with veterans, they wanted to help first responders as well. So they started Maddox Dog Training Academy, which further funds Service Peace Warriors and also allows them to equip first responders with service animals as well. Check out their organization, folks, servicepeacewarriors.org. With that, let's get into this interview with Sheila. Sheila, welcome to the Gravity Podcast.
Nice to be here.
Hey, you and I are both busy people, and like this hasn't been easy with us getting connecting no. here, but I'm glad that it's happened because I'm really excited to hear about what you're doing to help people improve their lives and their health. Obviously, you and I connected at a 1RC. Thank you, Sean Thomas, for everything you do at the First Responder Conferences, but I really enjoyed getting to meet you there and both watching you do your presentation, but then also you and I had an opportunity to have some side conversation as well. So, hey, for the listeners that don't know you, they've never seen what tactical yoga training is, or they've never met Sheila, do you mind introducing yourself to the listeners?
Absolutely. First off, thank you, Chris, for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to speak about what I do and maybe be helpful and carry the message.
Yes.
My background is in mental health. I'm a mental health clinician for a few decades. I think I got my license in 1993. That dates me. And I'm a parent. I have a 12-year-old boy. I don't know if you can see the background, who keeps me busy and helps me practice what I teach and preach, which is always good. And I have been practicing and also training others on yoga since 1987.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that long.
I was an early adopter. And back then, you know, no cell phones, no Instagram, no online. It was, you know, yoga with a teacher in person. And I started teaching it right away to really anyone and anybody. And so I've been teaching, training others on yoga since. How I kind of bridged into working with, you know, law enforcement and first responders and military was several years ago when I was living in Portland, Oregon. It was 2016, actually. And, you know, Chris, for me, it was just born of an intuitive thought of maybe I can be helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. There was no big marketing plan, or I'm going to cash in on the wellness wave that's going on in law enforcement. It was truly, you know, I'm an expert in meditation and yoga. Perhaps the Portland police might benefit from those tools, and let's see what happens. And that was it. And I cold called the police department the next day. And from that one call, of course, as you know, as usually happens when you kind of follow a good intuitive thought based on wanting to help, you know, it has expanded exponentially.
Yeah.
Since.
I love it. So in 2016, Portland was open to you coming in and doing yoga to the cops.
Well, no.
Okay.
In 2016, that was my initial, hey, Portland Police Bureau.
Yes.
Are you guys doing any yoga meditation? Honest to gosh, no joke. They laughed at me.
Oh yeah. That was our mindset back then.
Yeah. Not in, you know, really actually kind of a laugh. And that, you know, as most folks that I work with, and I'm sure yourself, you know, just because there's an initial laugh or a no or whatever, it means nothing, you know? So, when you know you have something of depth and weight to offer, you just, you know, stay the course. Right. So yeah. I stayed the course and, networked, called in, you know, anybody I knew at Portland Police. You know, I did what I needed to do. I did what it took to actually get in front of them. And eventually I did. And they were my first clients. And they, you know, Chris, just to give you kind of some background, from that one cold call, just based on wanting to help, not some grand plan, I eventually trained for them a patrol car yoga video, short, and then also a desk kind of short desk video for, you know, dispatch or anybody that was working on site behind a desk. And that video is still being shown in their training program.
Very functional, simple stuff that we can do without having to show up with a mat in hand.
Right.
And in our yoga pants.
Yes. No Lululemon yoga pants.
Which, here's the deal. That's a beautiful thing too, right? Like, I mean, I really didn't experience yoga until I went to an inpatient treatment center. However, I quickly fell in love with it because it was one of my favorite times of the week, because instead of all the programming and all the other stuff, which was valuable, now it was time just to sit there and turn inward, and just the stretching and the breath work. And I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why there's so many barriers. I think it's because, and I know I said this just before we hit recording, but I think it's because of kind of like this idea or this stigma of you're the crunchy granola gal and you want to do mystical stuff and, you know, sprinkle like mystical dust on us. And I'm not into that kind of thing. What would you say to the folks that are still kind of seeing this as this mystical granola thing?
Well, Chris, it's a valid prejudice these days, the way yoga is marketed, because now it is turned into, I don't know what the word would be, but particularly the past two decades, the way yoga is marketed and portrayed is as something that's a escapism, feel good, look good, lots of music, lots of fancy outfits, very fancy yoga studios. It has really, the wellness wave that went over mental health, actually, you know, went over yoga too, where the essence, the primary tools that a yogi uses have gotten usurped by, I call it the yoga fluff.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt that folks, you know, civilians, laymen who never have done yoga would see it that way. You know, the typical Lululemon blonde soccer mom going to the yoga studio. And please don't get me wrong. You know, I've gone through all of those stages as a yogi and as a teacher. I opened a yoga studio in Northwest Portland. I did practice a lot of the very fast, we call it yoga aerobics, where it's just flow with loud music, lots of bells and whistles, and it feels really good.
Yeah.
But then you leave the yoga studio and maybe that depth and weight is lacking. So I really understand that bias. Part of what I've been doing the past several years is trying to bridge the gap between what folks, particularly in law enforcement and first responders, may think that a yoga practice is and what really the essence of a yoga practice is. And that involves a lot of conversations like we're having, a lot of presentations, a lot of very thoughtful listening to what their biases are, and then talking those through. It's the same biases that my Zen community and my yoga community have about firearms, for example.
Yes. Yes.
Just switched.
So how do you, like, so instead of it being this, and I'm going to use some phrases here, this kumbaya experience, instead, how do you translate that? I mean, your name in your business, Tactical Yoga Training, insinuates that you're really recognizing who your clients are and recognizing how we're showing up. How do you start with conversation. How do you continue with that to make this experience something that I can show up in?
Well, Chris, that's a good question. It first of all, what I try to do is be thoughtful and take my time and approach any, you know, law enforcement communities are new to me as a civilian. No one in my family has ever owned a gun or been in law enforcement, all, you know, doctors, lawyers, that therapists. So I did my research for one thing. What I first started doing was I tried to find out anybody in the country that was doing any kind of yoga training in law enforcement. And back then it was just the Bend Police Department. Actually, they were like a front runner, any kind of training, any other clinician and yogi that had started to bridge that gap. And there are only a couple. And then I also started talking to law enforcement, and I also started doing ride-alongs.
Yes.
I also started doing sit-alongs with CRESA, and please, kudos to the Clark County Sheriff Department and Washougal Police Department and our CRESA 911 for taking time, like for fun and for free. And this is all my own dime. It wasn't like a training program. I just thought, you know, if I want to be effective and useful, then this is the work I need to put in. And I have training on my own firearms. All of those things, that experiential learning. And what I try to do is answer questions. So Chris, I'll give you some of the questions that I've gotten the past several years.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. Can I do yoga?
Right here.
Are we going to talk about feelings? Are you going to make me sit, you know, and, you know, what are some other ones? You know, those are just three for an example.
Yes.
So I can say yoga is net neutral. Like law enforcement, like most tools of science, you know, it is net neutral. It is not affiliated with any religion.
Yes.
No, we are not going to om and chant. That is a different form of practice. And so I kind of address those questions because I really do take them seriously and have a lot of respect for any person that's trying to try something on that's new.
Yeah, I love that. And I can tell you as a Christian, I probably had some of those preconceived ideas before I really, really tried it. And I think people, whether someone comes from a Christian background or a different faith background or even no faith background at all, I can tell you that yoga did end up being a very spiritual thing for me. But it was a spiritual thing that was very comfortable within my Christian practices. And even when other people in the same gathering were exercising their faith through it, we were able to coexist in this environment. It wasn't that their exercise was so much different and distracting that I wasn't able to do yoga in this group setting and modify it just a little bit, and not even the stretches. It wasn't the stretches I was modifying. It was some of the focus, some of the meditative practice that I did that fit very nicely with my Christian faith. So again, it was what I looked forward to. It was like, oh, we got yoga this afternoon. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. It's nice to hear some, you know, again, my aim is to be useful and effective. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to be some keynote speaker, obviously, and you know, I'm not in it for the money, all of those things. Or I'm not developing some online program. You know, really at base, it is truly to be useful and effective, you know, one yogi at a time, and to really help bridge that gap. And I'll also say, for the past couple of years, one of the things, Chris, that I realized pretty quickly with working with first responders is that the tools that we're training on in tactical yoga training, specifically the meditation, which we do Zen, and I can speak to that later if you want,
please,
the three-part breathing.
Yeah.
And then we're doing yoga poses from Ashtanga and Bikram and Iyengar, which are all standing balance poses. It's not flow. And I'm kind of getting a little technical here, like, you know, guns and that kind of thing, technical jargon. But most yoga is packaged as flow vinyasa, which I love, where you're going, you know, downward dog, chaturanga, warrior two. It's, you know, over and over. It's flowing. And I love that. And I'm not knocking flow vinyasa, of course. This is not flow vinyasa. It's the different style where we actually have time for the benefits of the yoga pose. And mostly it's internal to land.
Yes.
We're not jumping up and down. We do not train with music, lights on, music. I have a very formal meditation bell that I use just to start and end our meditation part.
Yes.
So, and that is a good distinction because, again, much of the yoga that's and also packaged to law enforcement is flow vinyasa,
okay,
which doesn't lend itself to a lot of the internal benefits. And what we're trying to do, Chris, now is to get these kind of trainings into academy level, like,
yes,
right at the beginning, so that therefore when men and women graduate and go into their respective departments, because of the wellness wave that's been going over, yoga doesn't seem such a one-off. You know, they're already kind of primed to at least try it and say, oh yeah, okay, I did that at academy. I know that my mental focus and being able to harness my parasympathetic nervous system and maybe do these few poses for my shoulders, my hips, and my back, I know that from academy is beneficial. So I'm going to continue doing this on the job. And you know, Chris, you're a smart guy. That kind of prevention model is a hard sell, because
100%.
We are very, very geared to crisis management, right? All of the myriad of issues that are happening in law enforcement right now. So
here's, I think, where we got this wrong. And here's where I really want to advocate for what you just said, Sheila, is when I became a police officer, they didn't give me a flashlight and a gun and tell me to go figure out how to search a building. When a firefighter becomes a firefighter, they don't give them a hose and a picture of a fire hydrant and said, figure it out. I was trained step by step how I was going to systematically clear a building. A firefighter is trained step by step how to attach a fire hose to a hydrant and how to fight a fire. But what we do with mental health is we look at it as a program or a presentation, and we maybe give them a little half hour snippet, maybe even an hour, and say, all right, now go do. We need to stop that. We need to recognize the fact that these jobs have unintended consequences on the human mind. And unless we are willing to train how to manage stress, not a one-time training, but like you said, like if we can get yoga and other types of health practices into the academy, and we're training you how to do it, and we're going to train you for the next 4 months how to do this, and then hopefully when you go to your agency, hopefully your agencies will continue to train. What I would love to see is at the end of shift, sergeants and their crews would get together, and whether they did some breath practice, whether they did some yoga, I would love to see them spend 5 minutes, just five minutes,
that's all it takes,
doing some of this to help them transition into their home life.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to show up as moms and dads and husbands and wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever these important relationships are in our lives. I want us showing up capable of stepping into them instead of so overwhelmed by the job that we're
That's screaming. Interesting that you mentioned that. The first ride along that I went on several years ago at Washougal Police Department, you know, and please know, I mean, I'm not a cop. I would never assume to know the nuances of the job. I'm very respectful that way. I'm very curious. But I have been in mental health my life. I've seen behind the curtain. I know what goes on in families. I've worked in psych wards.
Yep.
I'm very aware. And when I was done with that first ride along, I immediately, as a clinician, you know, and someone who's paying attention, thought, oh my goodness, this person, what I just saw and witnessed for 4 hours, sees every day for, you know, 20, 30 years. Like, I was gobsmacked as a civilian.
Yes.
And that again, made me even more, I wouldn't say passionate, but definitely more, you know, I'm driven, I'm ambitious intentionally. You know, the intention is, yes, after a critical incident, for sure, when you're sitting in your driveway between off, you know, off patrol shift, getting ready to walk in that door, a few three-part breaths, belly, ribs, chest, ribs, belly, honest, boom. Unless you're comatose, your parasympathetic nervous system will kick in.
Yes.
Right? Couple eagle poses for the shoulder. And just that subtle nuance shift could make the difference between how you show up, like you said, for your family and how you react. I use it all the time as a parent, of course.
Right.
And it's the same, right? Our brains are the same that way.
Yeah. And I can speak, Sheila, because I've been creeping around on your social media. We've been connected now since we saw each other at 1RC. But of course, you're a guest today, so I need to get back into it. I see you on your social media out there being curious, firing rifles, getting an experience. If you're going to connect with and be a piece of the solution to the first responder community, you have to understand our brains a little bit, right? You have to understand the world we're in. And I've seen you doing that with your curiosity.
Oh yes, for sure. I don't know any other way to learn something aside from experientially.
Yes,
you know, I have, you know, 3 college degrees in psychology and all of the letters and those things, and that's great. But I definitely, my personality is the same. Actually, as a lot of the first responders I work with, I really need to get out on the front line and do the practical application of the theories and change what is not working and, you know, really keep going with what's working. I have learned a ton, and particularly with the firearms, as you mentioned, and the first time I really started training on a firearm, particularly a longer gun, Chris, I'm telling you, it was the same experience as Zen meditation.
Yes.
It was. It was mind-blowing. And then I started, you know, networking with some snipers on that Instagram, because I was just so almost flabbergasted that it was the same breathing, like inward focus, as Zen.
Yes.
You know, and Zen meditation, again, is net neutral. It's not a religion. It's actually quite science and practical based, where you are still laying down, sitting, whatever is comfortable. And the anchor that you're using is your breathing.
Yes.
You're not externally attached. You know, all this meditation on your phone, et cetera, it's okay. It'll feel good. But we are wanting to train our mind, right? To have that front sight focus with a calm central nervous system. And the snipers get that. And it's interesting because the folks in the firearm industry understand that.
Yes.
Which is interesting, because usually, like with civilians, sometimes that mental focus and the breathing part takes longer to understand. And the anyone behind the gun is like, oh yeah. You know, I need to train on that.
Totally. Get into this Zen, though. You've touched on it a couple times. So let's get into this Zen and breathing that you've been talking about.
Well, I would never profess, you know, Zen,
yes.
You know, 3,000 years old. So, and I go back and forth with calling it what it is, you know, which is, it is a meditation.
Yes.
I notice a lot of you know, on the wellness wave, using all this different kind of language instead of just calling it what it is. And I know the reason for that, to kind of make it more digestible for law enforcement and first responders, kind of maybe sneak it in onto the side. But at the end of the day, we're doing Zen meditation and we're doing yoga and we're doing breath work. I like to call it what it is kind of right away. You know, my language, if I don't use Sanskrit, there's no chanting. I'll use mindfulness meditation until I've worked with a department for a while or a group. And then, I mean, they understand what we're doing and they're on my Instagram. I'm like, oh, we're doing Zen meditation. And then I'll call it what it is. And that, Chris, for two reasons, that is out of respect for my teachers, you know, decades long teachers, and also out of respect to my clients. I don't want to dumb something down or give them kind of the watered down version of these tools of depth and weight. I don't think that's respectful. So with the Zen at base, Chris, it is a practical application of a meditation tool to hone your ability to focus on one thing, right?
Yes.
Being your breath. It's not about Zen meditation. We're not trying to escape or feel good or stop thinking. We'd be dead if we stopped thinking. We're trying to redirect to the breath, And I'm going to tell you, I think I started in 89, 90, so hard.
Yes.
It is so hard. I'm a few decades in, and you know, when I met my last Zen master teacher, you know, he said, you know, you sit 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, you know, kind of started doing that. I don't know that many people that have that kind of time. We'll sit or lay down for maybe 6 or 7 minutes. And then go into the physical practice with a three-part breath, hour-long training, right? Tactical yoga training.
Yeah.
After a while, Chris, and I mean, you know, like months, that sitting part, the stillness with breath, becomes the favorite, like the forefront.
Yes. I agree. That was my experience.
Yeah.
And it wasn't months, but I was in a pretty intense program for 36 days. Mm-hmm. And so, I really enjoyed all of it, but getting to the spot where we were just breathing. And that's the problem for a lot of us is, I think, especially in the first responder military culture, sometimes our brains are going 100 miles per hour all the time. And so the idea of, I'm sorry, you want me just to breathe and think about breath, mm-hmm. seems impossible. And the first couple of times you try it, I remember I used to try to fight against the thoughts coming in, and luckily I had a good yoga teacher who said, let the thoughts come. Don't fight them. Let them come. Mm-hmm. Let them go. Refocus on the mm-hmm. anchor. Refocus on your breath. Oh, here's another thought. It's okay. Hey thought.
Yep.
How are you? It's nice seeing you. Yep. We're going to just let that mm-hmm. pass his way. And I found when I was trying to fight, don't think, it was all I could think about. It's like, don't think about purple elephants.
Right.
Right now, all you can think about is a big, huge purple elephant in your mind, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas when you embrace the thought and then let it pass, it does pass. And it's a lot easier to refocus on my anchor, on my breath. Mm-hmm. And it's just so relaxing.
Yes. It's we call it alert calmness mm-hmm. in Zen, because we're not going for relaxed. Because if you're a parent, a first responder, anything, you need to be on. You need to be on.
I hear you.
You need to be on, ready to go.
Yeah.
But also ready to recover.
Yeah.
Ready to go and then ready to recover. And that's okay. Just that consistent training of the meditation, the three-part breath, which gives you that recovery.
So tell me what you called it again.
Instead of, which part?
I think I used the word relaxed and you said something different.
Oh, it's called, we call it alert calmness.
Okay, I like that. I like alert calmness.
It's like drinking a bunch of coffee, but not with the jitters.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you're yoga and even Zen, warriors, like warriors long, long, long time ago, use these tools. You are on point, but your central nervous system, and particularly your parasympathetic nervous system, is still intact.
Yes.
Like the stress hasn't hijacked those parts of your body, which of course, as you know, those are the mental situations that lead to PTS, generalized anxiety disorder, alcohol and drug issues, all of the myriad of things that we see in law enforcement.
So for some people, sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, that might be kind of, maybe I've heard of that before, but I don't know exactly what that is. So can you maybe touch mm-hmm. on that? Like, what are those systems in us and what's their function?
Well, I mean, at base, what we are training on is particularly the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the calming, but not the checked out one.
Yeah, totally.
Really want to stay aware and alert. And again, which is a very, very marked difference, Chris, to a lot of the meditation and even wellness. It's getting marketed to law enforcement right now. It's really geared to escapism, feeling good, checking out.
Which is what alcohol did. Hour. That's what alcohol did for me. Yeah.
Right. Get a massage, which is nice.
Yeah.
Feels good. I love it too. That's not what we're doing. We're training so that you, the men and women, can stay in, checked in to reality right here, wherever's going on.
Yeah.
Right. And then have the tools to use those tools to recover from that big hit of stress.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, right? Like on the firing line or after the shift.
Yeah.
And then of course the yoga poses, as you know, very specific for shoulders, lower back and hips, injury prevention on the job. And so that the career of a first responder, they can retire well-ish.
Yes.
Retire physically, as physically well as they can.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the thing is like, I want to see first responders walk out the door on their time, whatever that is, right? It looks different for everyone, and physically well enough to go out and live the life they want to live. That's what I usually hear from first responders is, man, I'm excited for retirement. My wife and I, my husband and I are going to travel the world. We're going to hit motorcycles and go, and whatever it is that people's different goals and ambitions are, I want you to get to that. But that is not just a goal that you can have without having some kind of habits in place that are going to get us there. The job, everything from the trauma we experience and the stress, even to, and I'm hearing you touch on this a little bit, to those darn weight belts or from a firefighter standpoint, the big backpacks with the oxygen, that's a wear and tear on our bodies. And if we aren't preventative, mm-hmm. it's like having a car that you never change the oil on. Okay, after a few years, your car's not going to work anymore. Engine's going to blow up. I don't want the engines to blow up on our first responders. I want well-serviced engines. And I think yoga is a huge piece of that.
Yeah, for sure. Not to belabor the point, but not all yoga, right? So I'm a lady of a certain age, and I'll jump into some yoga classes at studios that I love.
Yeah.
And I am two poses behind all the 20-year-olds. I mean, it's fast pace. Yeah. It is, we are working out. And I'm like, whoa, okay. And I'm in good shape. So there's that, but it's not a workout, right? You can go to the gym or go do aerobics or step class or Orange Theory or HIIT class, all of the things online so much. This is specific for a first responder's brain, right? The mind, that three-part breathing for the nervous system. And then of course, very specific yoga poses for, one of my clients the other day, if they're watching this, hey, a Clark County Sheriff, who's a sergeant, like this. And one of the other deputies goes, oh yeah, sergeant shoulders. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, can I use that? I always ask them, I'm like, can I use that? I love that. Sergeant shoulders. So sergeant shoulders and, you know, the backs and the hips. And I like what you said about the uniform, because I went and put a kit on. I put on the belt, put on the vest. You can see that on my Instagram.
Yes.
And did a few posts. You know, I'm like, can I train? Can I do my own training? Geared up. Yes.
I love it.
I've had, you know, men and women come on, boots on, a vest on, you know, gun, you know, firearm away safely, and do the meditation. Do a little bit of an eagle pose. Do the three-part breath. Sometimes quick. I've been in a training and they get a call, they're gone. So we do like 20 minutes and they have to leave, you know?
Yeah.
It's a hard sell though, Chris, as you know, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, still, there is a lot of resistance, you know, still, I think because of those biases.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I've heard all the yoga jokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heard all the,
hey, one of the things I always hope that when people listen to the podcast, I'm always hoping they walk away with more tools. So will you coach me through the three-part breath right now?
Yeah.
And that way the listeners
I've been doing a couple
this.
Of them here while I was sitting here. Okay. And, great. So, three-part breath, which of course I didn't make up. It's not a trademark. I think I actually talked to, before he got world famous, Andrew Huberman about it when he was in Portland. I saw him in person. This was before he became a mega superstar.
Yeah.
But we had a conversation very early on, because he talks about breathing, as you know, quite a bit. And all the mirror, and that's what I'm saying, things have gotten very complicated, especially with everything online. Everybody's a breath person now. So the three-part breath is one that you can do seated. Like I'm sitting down, I have my hand on my belly, right? You can do it standing. You can do it while you're in a meeting. You can do it in, you know, we do it between every yoga pose. We activate the pose and then we do a three-part breath. So it is very actually hard to teach and do at the same time, but I'm going to do a couple. Okay. So I'm just breathing in for one from my belly. Two, three, up here is where it gets a little hitched up, and then I'm exhaling back down for three, two, through the nose. Yeah, one, yep. So one through the nose, and then back down.
So three seconds in, and then hold,
yeah.
And then back down.
Belly, okay. Ribs, chest, so your belly has to pooch out, which is kind of strange at first, which is the hardest part for most people because we're usually breathing up here. Right? So belly, really pooching that belly out on that inhale. But it's subtle, Chris. Like it's not a forcing, we're not doing what I call Darth Vader breathing, which is another yoga technique, but it's very subtle. Just 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And two or three of those, your parasympathetic nervous system, unless you know you're comatose or knocked out, will do its job. You don't have to think about it, right? Belly, ribs, chest, ribs, belly.
What I love about this is I can do this when I'm getting into a serious conversation with my partner. I can do this mm-hmm. when I'm in a meeting with a boss that I want to hold underwater until the bubbles stop, right? I can do this when all of a sudden anger is starting to come up, right? And that, you know, and I'm like, and then no one knows I'm doing this. And all
nobody.
And all of a sudden I'm reactivating my thinking brain. I like to use that word. I know it's not technical, but I'm reactivating that thinking brain instead of my emotional brain.
Yes.
And now I'm capable of showing up again, whether it be with my partner, with my children, with my coworkers. I'm more qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And I use that breath. In, you know, I work in treatment centers. I use the breath. I use the breath with my 12-year-old son. I use the breath with I train every single clinical, any client that comes to me in the clinical way. We do three-part, I train them on meditation and breath right away. Because all of those mental health tools and all of that good treatment we have is not going to land unless we're there to receive it in our central nervous system and our brain.
Yes.
Clearing it land. So it's radical. I mean, Not as much these days, but in the few decades ago when I started doing that in my private practice, clients were like, I want to talk, I'm here to talk about my problems. Let's three-part breath. Everyone's going to sit for a couple of minutes. And then they're ready to work, right? Ready to work.
I love the fact that you went again, that you went out and experienced firing long guns on the range, because again, when you're talking about yoga, my arms are starting to cross. Not me right now, but I mean that's that, cops,
That
okay.
goes like this. They go back, their chairs go back like this.
She's one of
They look
those
at me like
ladies.
this, especially if I'm wearing like Lululemon, which is my job, which is my uniform. My job uniform, just for the record, everybody, is yoga pants.
Of course, why not?
I'm not,
But when you're able to sit there and relate it, say, hey, this is like when your eyes are in the gun range and you guys need a front sight focus, and you all of a sudden control your breathing before you take that shot. I'm in now. I'm like, oh yeah, I get that. Like, that's super important. And there was another training I went through. I think it was called Below 100, and the whole idea was it was twofold. Don't ever drive over 100 miles per hour, so slow your speed down. And then we wanted to have below 100 officers dying because of accidents, collisions, and that kind of stuff. And one of the things they taught us was autogenic breathing, or combat breathing, exactly the stuff I was doing on the gun range with controlling my breathing.
Oh, great.
And so when I, yeah, that's, I'm like, when you sat there and coached me through that just now, that's where my brain's going is, we get this. We get,
Yes.
we've already bought into the value of taking some breaths. And in the format in which we do it might be a little bit different, but we buy into that. And I really see that as being a gateway element of yoga. It's kind of like a gateway drug, but in this case, it's a really good thing, right? It's a gateway practice, a gateway habit that can help us understand the value of the other aspects of yoga, I think.
Well, one thing I learned for sure when I was working with the Army, which I learned a lot, and please know I've made so many mistakes.
We all have.
As I said before, I just jumped right in, and I'm an experiential learner, and of course I'm a civilian. I called someone a chief when they were really a, I mean, all of those things. And what I have found, I have to say, and really kudos to the whole entire first responder community. I will have to say, to a man and a woman, the feedback has been clear and kind, because I think that they've realized that my intention, like my drive is. I remember somebody asked me very, very early on. It was a cop. He said, "Sheila, everybody's going to want to know what's your angle? Cops are really untrusting." And I went, oh, I said, my angle. Well, I don't, my angle is that I have some expertise. I think it might be beneficial. I particularly know that now. And I'm going to try to see what I can do. That's, I guess, my angle. So it was really good, those early on conversations, Chris, to learn a little bit about the culture of untrusting
Yes.
and very closed, actually. It's taken me quite some time, and of course mistakes have been made and great feedback taken to heart, actually. The Army helped me with some language for sure, that front sight focus and bluff bottom line up front, like what's the training that we're doing. And they were the snipers that I worked with when we did a collaboration on Zen and the art of like long range shooting, I think it was called. It was very, very enlightening. Because even though they had that breath piece, they really wanted to extend the meditation part,
Yeah.
like being still, because they're still so much. And then some poses, particularly for their, shoulders and upper back. So,
So how do you deliver, how is your company, how is Tactical Yoga Training providing this service to either individuals or organizations? What does it look like? If someone's listening and either they're a decision maker, like a chief or a sheriff, or maybe they're a line level officer, firefighter, paramedic, and they're like, hey, we want to learn more about this. Like, what kind of service do you offer?
I offer in-person training.
Love it.
in Southwest Washington, Seattle, and Portland. I also do, believe it or not, Instagram has been amazing. You know, it's a professional account. Lots of networking on the Instagram. I have sent people who have requested particular poses for firearms. I will, you know, send them like short video clips of like three or four poses. I've done a lot of networking on that three-part breath. Sent a lot of just, you know, Instagram messages on what, you know, and this is for fun and for free unless we come into a contract. But, you know, I really, and it is for fun and for free in the sense that I do give away a lot of this. I mean, if someone, you know, on Instagram says, hey, I'm out of country, I want to do a three-part breath, can you send me a video? Of course. Because a lot of people have helped me that way, right?
Yeah.
As far as formal contracts, we have been running off of grants, you know, grants for the Washington State, a couple DOG grants, some Fed grants. And that has looked like, for example, coming in on department twice a week, doing two tactical yogas, tying that in maybe to also hiring a mental health clinician to come in also.
Yeah.
That has also looked like at the Clark County Sheriff Department, we have done, you know, one training a week. We're now running it under their wellness grant, which is a little bit different, of course, because that's more of, you know, they're giving the men and women kind of a stipend to use as they will, you know, massage, sports equipment. And then I'm kind of built in as a resource or tactical yoga training. We have that every Wednesday down here. I have made, you know, gone, like I said, on site and made videos for departments to share at training. I'm really trying to get in-person training here at our new criminal justice training center. Here's the plug, in Southwest Washington.
Yes.
Right in my backyard.
Just opened.
Which some academies are starting to do. Like I come in twice during their, I think it's 16-week training, boom, hour and a half class, easy peasy. So that's kind of where my assets, you know, lie best. But again, Chris, I'm also open to having any conversations. You know, I've had people all over the country contact me, you know, yoga teachers, law enforcement that want to start teaching, you know, law enforcement that are also yoga teachers and want to start teaching in their department. And I have on the phone, emailed, Instagram, happy to share my journey and my expertise on how they can roll those programs out. You know, I have no, I don't own yoga, I don't own Zen. I do, you know, own tactical yoga training and it is trademarked. But, you know, I'm very much an in-person trainer.
Yeah.
And looking for contracts that can be consistent. Right. Because this is just like anything. Like, you know, I train on my firearm consistently. I lose that muscle memory with that gun so quick and forget. Right. So it's the same thing, you know, super consistent training.
I agree. If chiefs, sheriffs, other decision makers want to, or actually if anyone just wants to connect with you, what are the best ways for them to connect with you?
At Tactical Yoga Training on Instagram.
Okay.
I have a LinkedIn profile. It's heavy on my mental health background. It's like probably say 80% of my mental health clinician, 20% tactical yoga training.
Okay.
Is a great place, but really send me a message on Instagram. I think my email, my phone number is on there also.
I love it. Sheila, time is my greatest commodity. I can't make more of this stuff. And you've given me so much of yours. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's been an honor.
All right, have a great day. Wow, folks, what did you think? I absolutely love this opportunity to talk with other people. I don't know what your thoughts are on yoga. I was probably standoffish. In fact, I know I was. I thought, I don't know if that fits into my faith, beliefs and whatnot, until I tried it. And I realized, yoga can be different things to different people. And when I'm doing it, one, it's stretching my body. It's helping me control my breathing, focusing on the anchor, my breath. And it's a very faith-based activity for me when it comes to focusing on my Creator and who I am in His sight. And just an absolutely big piece of my healing journey. Folks, Jamie and I want to hear from you what this journey of going through the podcast is like. We constantly want to get better. There's a few different ways for you to communicate back to us. First and foremost, please follow us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That will cause the next episode to pop up on your dashboard. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, we'd really appreciate a 5-star rating. On our main page, there's 5 stars just waiting there for you. Folks, though, you've heard me say this. If we haven't earned 5 stars, keep your stars. Instead, shoot me an email at chris@gravityct.com. Let us know how to make it better, future Marriage Monday topics, or guests for me to interview. Folks, we only get to live this life once. Let's go out and take care of the people in our tribe. Take care of each other. God bless.